Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're here for the final session of our teaching series, Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. This is a study session, of course, so no live phone calls today, but you can still get a voicemail of your questions to us now or anytime at the usual number, 844-322-2742, or if you prefer, send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you and promise to give you an answer on the air as soon as possible. But for right now, let's get today's broadcast underway. It's Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passage, number 10. So, Bob, what's it going to be today?
Today is John chapter 17,
and I love
this passage. It is the Lord's Prayer. You know, many people think of what Jesus taught his disciples how to pray that was recorded in Matthew chapter 6 is the Lord's Prayer. But in reality, this is the Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus at the moment of his crucifixion, when that was about to unfold, praying, sharing, talking with his Father about his mission, about eternal life, about his disciples, and then about you and me. Mm-hmm. So it is really the heart of Jesus Christ being expressed to the Father on our behalf.
Yeah.
So this is a wonderful, wonderful prayer, and I'm going to look at it in four parts. So let's just dive in. The first five verses, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." There is a lot packed into these five verses.
Indeed.
So Jesus had spoken some words to the disciples. He then lifted his eyes and he said, "The hour has come. Father, the hour has come." And that's significant, because throughout the Gospel of John, we see different things taking place, and Jesus would respond to them, "My hour has not yet come." We see the miracle at the wedding of Cana, and Mary saying, "Hey, do what they want," and he's saying to her, "My hour has not yet come."
Yeah.
We see his brother saying, "Go," or the disciples, "go to Jerusalem," and he says, "My hour has not yet come." And here at the very beginning of this prayer, he says this, "The hour has come." Well, what hour is he speaking about? Well, he is speaking about the time of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The mission that God sent him to do is about to be carried out in its full scope. So that hour has come, and so Jesus says, "Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." And certainly throughout Jesus' life, he glorified his Father. And he is asking the Father to glorify the Son in this act, which he has done. This cross of Jesus, this burial of Jesus, this resurrection of Jesus is glory that does something to us. It's a glory that not only radiates on the face like the glory of the old covenant, but it radiates within the heart and it changes us from within. So our new life in Jesus Christ is radiating from the very core of who we are. That's what makes it genuine. That's what makes it real. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. And so, "Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." So what does Jesus have the authority to do? To give eternal life to all those that the Father has given him. So we see that in a small circle of people that walked with Jesus, they were going to receive eternal life. But there were many, many more that the Father was going to give to Jesus, to whom Jesus was going to give everlasting life. Now, what is eternal life? And this verse 3 is the only place in the New Testament we're going to see eternal life defined for us. It's talked about, it's mentioned, it's the gift that we receive when we believe in Jesus. But here, the quality of it is laid out for us. So it says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So what is eternal life? It is a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. That's what eternal life is. And in knowing God the Father and in knowing God the Son, something happens to us. Something changes in us. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Relationships impact those that are involved. I grew up loving my dad, getting to know him, getting to know what made him tick. And a lot of who he was passed on to me through that relationship. I got a lot of genetic things from him, just DNA and biological things. But in the relationship, I got a lot of his characteristics and traits and that sort of thing. That's just the nature of relationships. And what the gospel does, it calls us into a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. We enjoy fellowship with them, and that relationship changes us. And that's what eternal life is. So the moment that you believed, the moment that you received Jesus Christ, you entered into that relationship and you started to experience eternal life, knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Now, you didn't know a lot about him when you first received, but that knowledge has been growing as you grow in the grace of God. So you're experiencing eternal life here and now. And then Jesus goes on to say, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So God sent Jesus for a purpose, and that purpose was carried out in his death, burial, and resurrection, and then ascension back into heaven. And he says that that work has been accomplished, that Jesus did it. He fulfilled it. When he said, it is finished, that's exactly what he meant. Yeah. It is finished. And so he says, and now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So here's a power-packed statement. Jesus is saying that he existed before the world did, and that he had a place of glory by God the Father. And now he's going to return to that very place that he vacated for a period of time when he became one of us, so that we could experience this eternal life that he has given us by grace through faith in him.
John 17, Bob Christopher's favorite passage. This is number 10, and it's one of my very favorite passages as well, and it even gets better as we go. So we're looking forward to the continuation of this one. But it is session 10 of Bob's top 10 favorite passages, and we're pausing for just a moment to remind you that, friends, we need your help to continue broadcasting and streaming the good news of Jesus every day. If Basic Gospel has found a place in your life, please help us keep the message going. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to help with your give today. You can do that right now. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Now let's continue with this final session, number 10 of Bob's top 10 favorite passages, John 17.
So what we have here is something, the way we break this passage up, we see Jesus kind of speaking about himself in these first five verses, and now he's going to move to his disciples. So here's the heart that Jesus had for his disciples, those that followed him during his earthly ministry, and what he has in mind for them as they are going to perpetuate the word that God the Father had given to Jesus the Son to pass on to them. So he says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So we see that in a real story at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked the question of them, who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So they knew, based on the revelation that God the Father had given them, that God had sent Jesus as the one to fulfill all the promises in the Old Testament. And so they knew that this Jesus Christ had been sent by the Father. And so he says, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And I love that passage. What assurance that Jesus is saying to the disciples. And certainly the disciples were hearing these words.
Very words.
Very much so. And he says, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So Jesus was glorified in the disciples, the apostles. He's glorified in us as well. And he says, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So Jesus knows that he is going to leave, and he's not going to leave the disciples as orphans. He's going to send the Comforter to them. He's already talked to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. He's talked to them about the fact that he's going to be the Spirit of truth, that he's going to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known or bring them to remembrance as far as the disciples and apostles are concerned, that he's going to be the Comforter, that he's going to be with them always. So he's saying, hey, I'm going, but when I go, then the joy that's in me can be fulfilled in them.
Yes.
Through this Holy Spirit, through this Comforter. So he's praying a prayer of protection. He's praying a prayer that says, I want these that you have given me to be one, just as we are one. And that's exactly the reality. So here is a prayer that Jesus was making for the disciples. And he continues that in this next little section. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself or sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So he wants them to be one. He knows that they're going to go out into the world, that they're going to be hated just as he was hated. And so, again, he's asking for protection for them from God the Father to keep them from the evil one. And he's saying they are not of the world just as he is not of the world. So when we identify with Jesus Christ, something happens to us. We were in the kingdom of darkness, and now we've been transferred out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son whom God loves. So now we are connected with him. Now that kingdom is not a worldly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. It has come down from above. So now our identity is attached with him who has come down from above and that kingdom that is from above. So we are no longer of this world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's what he's saying about the disciples, and that's what he said about you and me as we go further into this prayer. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. And what is going to flow through us, this eternal life of knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, is sourced from above. That's why Paul would say, keep your minds on things above. Let your hearts be directed toward things above. Why? That's who we're connected to. That's the source of all that we are here and now. And he says truth is that sanctifying reality. Truth is what sanctifies us. When we believe the truth, we're sanctified. We're set apart for God's use. And that truth is the thing that separates us from the world. Why? The world is based in lies and deceit. It's built on the foundation of error. Whose error? Whose lie? Well, the very lie of the evil one. He is promoting this lie that we can all be like God in and of ourselves. We don't need to live in dependence upon God. We can live independent of God. And when we do, then we can flourish as human beings. That was the lie of Satan in the garden. That is the lie that has been perpetuated for, 6 to 10,000 years. It's the lie that's being foisted on people by the world today. And it's the truth that sets us apart from that lie. It's the truth that guards us and protects us and keeps us safe in this world of darkness. So he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So this word of God that we hold in our hands, it is the truth that we need. And God's Spirit is there to bring the meaning of that truth to our hearts and minds so that we can see ourselves for who we really are, that we don't fit in this world. We're identified with the one who was sent from above,
yes,
whose kingdom is from above, and we are ambassadors of that kingdom in this world of darkness. And here's this beautiful truth at the very end, verse 19, and for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. In other words, Jesus was saying, I have committed myself to the truth. I have committed myself to this work that I'm supposed to do in offering myself as the once-for-all sacrifice and to be raised back to life so that they can experience the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
So it's a powerful thing that all of this rests on the shoulders of Jesus. God sent Jesus to do a work on our behalf. He completed that work on our behalf, and it was something that emanated from his heart for you and for me.
Yes.
Talk about amazing. That's amazing.
You know, these passages and the entire gospel of grace bring such hope to our hearts, but this passage that you're going to cover next, Bob, does something to my heart that just is almost unspeakable to me, and so I look forward to you sharing it. This is Session 10 of Bob's Top 10, and we're glad you've joined us for it here on Basic Gospel, everybody. You know, Bob and our staff invite you, our listeners, to subscribe to the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. Now, you can start each day by being reminded of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Subscribe today and start tomorrow with the sure knowledge that you are a dearly beloved child of God. The devotional is free, and you can start your subscription right now at basicgospel.net/subscribe. We hope you'll do that today. Again, that's basicgospel.net/subscribe. Okay, now back to Bob's favorite passage, number 10. We're talking about John 17, and here comes this wonderful passage.
And this is verse 20 all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse 26. And here Jesus shifts. So he starts the prayer talking about himself, saying, hey, my hour has come, Lord, glorify me, bring me back into your presence where I was before the world even existed. Then he prays for his disciples, and now he moves further out, and he's praying for you and for me. And so he says, I do not ask for these things. Now, think of this. I mean, just think of this. Just think of the stunning truth that we're witnessing, that we're hearing right now. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself praying for you and for me. That is a humbling reality. So he prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples. He's praying for Bob Davis. He's praying for me. He's praying for Greg Park. He's praying for you who are listening. This is the heart of Jesus for you. And he says, I do not ask these for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, why do we believe the good news of Jesus Christ? Because of the apostles' testimony concerning Jesus Christ. They were sent out into this world. All of them were martyred except for John. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, as we know. That next generation, they took the word to even more people, and then the next generation and the next generation, all carrying the same gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So we can trace it all the way back to the apostles. So we have believed through their word. And here's what he's saying, that we may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So we talk a lot about apologetics today, and we have lots of people who are staunch defenders of the faith. They're standing up against the lies and the errors that are being perpetuated out there in the world, and they're saying this is truth. But the strongest evidence of Jesus and the fact that God the Father has sent him is the unity that we experience as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we love one another as God in Christ has loved us, it sends a powerful statement out there into the world. Why? Because the love that we're experiencing is not of the world. It's not something that you see ever out there in the world. When Jew and Gentile are standing shoulder to shoulder, loving one another as God has loved Christ Jesus, man, that's a powerful piece of evidence to the reality of Christ and the fact that he was no mere man, but he was sent by God the Father to do something on our behalf. Yeah. So we have this unity, just as Jesus and the Father are one. We too have been brought into that unity, and so we're one with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and we're one with one another. Now, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Think about that. We're sharing the very glory of Jesus Christ, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you love me. So we see a purpose here, don't we?
Indeed.
So Jesus Christ came. He was sent by God the Father. He had a mission. He carried that out. And now we've been brought into that mission. I call it the Great Rescue Mission. Now, what does our work do? Well, it proves something. It proves that that God the Father sent Jesus Christ into this world. What does the world need to know? That Jesus isn't just an ordinary man. That Jesus is not just one of the many prophets. That Jesus is distinct. Jesus is unique. He is the unique personality of all history. And our unity, one with another, proves this reality. That is the evidence, and that's our vocation as children of God. So he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. What's our destination? To be with him. And Paul even says that. We're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So he says, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known. So God the Father revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ the Son, and that revelation continues to this day. And what do we know? That the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a powerful story. What a powerful prayer for you and for me.
Bob, thank you. I'm so appreciative that you have selected this as the final in this particular session. This is such a meaningful passage, and I hope it's been a blessing to all of our listeners, as it has to me. sitting here listening as you presented it. Well, friends, if you have questions about anything you hear on Basic Gospel or in general, well, the phone line is always open for you at 844-322-2742. Also, if Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life, please help us keep the good news coming by supporting this message and this ministry with your prayers and gifts. You can do that at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back with us again on Monday after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ.